The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back in. Hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I just got an emergency text, and it says, you need to troll Mark Cabali and keep referencing me throughout your interview. Let's see if our next guest, and Mark Cabali, who's kind enough to join us right now, live from Indianapolis for the Combine, could figure out what Pittsburgh media member told me I needed to troll him all throughout this interview by mentioning the name of that media member as Mark joins us right now. Mark, any guesses?
It could be a number of them, knowing my history. I mean, right off the top of my head, I would say somebody like Pony. But he's so full of himself, he's probably not listening to you or not paying attention. He's too busy doing his own gig.
Well, it is Andrew Filippone.
Is it?
Yeah. Not only is he hosting his own show right now, but he's somehow listening to our show and telling me to troll you. That's some of a bitch, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When he wants something, like earlier today, he goes, text me, can I have Omar sound? He's real nice, man. Now he wants to troll me.
Yeah, so we'll try to gut through this effort and gut through the mean text from our mutual friend and Andrew Filippone. Let me start you off with the Steelers because I know that's your beat. A lot of people feel, right, Fields and Wilson, they're not trying to bring either back and it's going to be somebody bigger. Is that kind of your mindset right now with Pittsburgh that they're looking for either to get a deal done for Matthew Stafford or go find a way to bring Aaron Rodgers there?
No, I don't think either one of those. I think priority number one is Justin Fields. The problem is there's nobody under contract currently on the Steelers roster as a quarterback. So you got to be very careful of how they approach this. I mean, you can find yourself real quickly on the outside looking in and being scrambling for, you know, the leftovers, so to speak, of the quarterback position. So they have to finesse this a little bit and pretend to be interested in just about everybody right now until somebody signs on that dotted line. I think that it's Justin Fields they want, but he's going to have other options here coming up. If it's the Jets, if it's the Giants, whoever it may be that might offer him a better plan to go there, and he might all of a sudden say, okay, I'm going there, then you're telling Russell Wilson that, you know, you are our plan B. You can't do that. So you have to keep him in the mix a little bit. If you don't want him, then you better keep these free agents in the mix as well, which a lot of them you can't even really talk to yet, I don't believe. Matthew Stafford, I just think, is a little bit of a pipe dream at this moment. So if I'm a betting man right now, I'm saying Justin Fields is who they want. It's just a matter of just the Steelers offer him the right deal or give him the right words to make him come back.
Yeah, the only hiccup that I have on that one, and I agree, if it's between, let's say, Russ and Fields, I would go with the younger guy that at this stage of his career could have the higher ceiling in Justin Fields. But it's like last year, okay, Russ got hurt. They start Justin. Justin's winning games. Then they go back to Russ. You know, a year later, you think that they're going to be willing to just say, okay, Justin, we're ready to just throw you in the deep end and see what it's going to look like from start to finish with him.
They had no really idea of what they were getting last year. At least they got a full year of training camp. He had a ton of reps in training camp, OTAs, and obviously he started six games to really get a feel of what type of quarterback can you work with him? Can we see improvement out of him? So last year they were going into it blind. So I think that could be a selling point to him right now as well. I mean, they're in a bad situation regardless. I mean, if it's Justin Fields, who's probably your best option just based on age and, you know, pedigree to a point where he was drafted 11th overall a couple years ago. Other than that, man, you're going veteran guys that are going to be around a year or two. There's no long-term answer here. The only long-term answer you see right now is Justin Fields, and that's probably, you know, that's less than 50%, man. That's like a scratch ticket of lottery ticket. You only spend $5 to get it, but you're probably not going to win anything, you know? Yeah. You might win a free ticket.
Well, you may have to spend more on this guy, but I don't think the payout is going to be worth it. You know, could they consider Sam Darnold as a long-term option?
See, I'm not going to go and say that anybody's out, because I've been around Omar Khan long enough here in the last couple of years, is everybody's in play to a degree. He's not going to just – I mean, last year at this point, right, sitting in this room right here, after talking to him, it was Kenny Pickett number one. We had great faith in him moving back. I mean, moving along, 10 days later, they acquire Russell Wilson and trade for Justin Fields and trade Kenny Pickett. And all of a sudden, all three quarterbacks are gone. You know, so I wouldn't say no, but I think the money, once again, is significant. And it's such a small sample size for Sam Darnold. And if you look at Darnold, you got Justin Jefferson, you had Jordan Addison, you had Hawkinson, you had a good running back in Jones, you had a coach of the year, offensive mastermind. I don't think the Steelers have that.
So yeah, to say the least.
Translate over.
Yeah, well, something they do have, Mark Cavalli, is George Pickens. Now, you know, he doesn't get the ball. He becomes the biggest diva in the league, but when he does get the ball, he's a pretty damn good wide receiver. I know Omar Khan talked about his future today with the year left on the contract. Are you optimistic that they'll get a deal done, and what do you kind of think that deal will look like?
No, I don't think you're going to get a deal done. I don't think that's in their plans. Over the history of the Steelers, they've extended three wide receivers in their history past the one contract. No, I think it was Hines Ward, one, Deontay Johnson, two, and why am I forgetting the
third one?
Antonio Brown, that was the best one of them all, right? And they did that, you know, gritting their teeth and a little bit early too, because they wanted Mike Wallace. So they don't really do that. I don't think you can go into this season, because they'd have to have that contract done before the start of the year, because they don't negotiate in season, and then that would leave him to free agency. So to get it done between now and August, I just don't think that's on their radar whatsoever. If worse comes to worse, he has a great year, you tag him next year, go the Cincinnati Bengals route. But I truly don't believe that they're interested in extending him.
And here's my question. Can he handle not getting that deal? Because we know he's never afraid to add a little extra fuel to that fire.
Yeah, that's the problem. As long as he keeps getting the ball, he's fine. As long as he has his 10 to 12 targets, he's fine. When that goes away, then that becomes an issue. But, hey, did we really think T. Higgins was going to be that guy last year? I know it was a little bit different situation with the tag, but he was playing for his money too. Omar did say today that we had a good conversation. He wants to be great. I don't discount that he does want to be great, but you're year four now. You're going to have to start growing up a little bit. And honestly, when he was early in the year last year, I thought he did make that step to being an adult in the room. Then all of a sudden, it wasn't. So I don't know. That's a big question mark. That's probably one of the reasons, Zach, is why you don't want to give him the money.
And that's a thing. And I agree. I think it'd be a mistake to pay him now. I still think he has more to prove. And the Steelers, they need guys like him to reach their potential, because they don't have a lot of offensive talent. I just wonder, is the juice worth the squeeze? Because even when Kenny Pickett was there and he didn't get the feet down, it became a problem. I remember that one game. I think it was on a Thursday night, or maybe it was a Monday night. And then also, it's like, how many times even Mike Tomlin, right, who doesn't give the media much, even he was visually and vocally frustrated with Pickens this past year.
Yeah, you remember the Monday night game when he had those curse words on his eye black. I'm sure that didn't go over with the very Catholic owners of the Roonies. They never said anything publicly that they denounced it, but I'm sure he didn't enjoy that. And that's just one of many of him not showing up. I mean, he was injured for a month, and he showed up late to a Christmas Day game on his first game back.
Crazy.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Right. So, I mean, the funny thing about George is I think he's a very bright, smart, intellectual guy, but he just marches to the beat of his own drummer.
Yeah, to say the least. Mark Cavalli here with us. So let me ask you back to Rodgers. I know you said that you think it's going to be Fields, but all options are on the table. Do you think Rodgers and Tomlin, because I think this is something that gets overblown a little bit, they couldn't coexist, they couldn't make it work for a year. I think they would be fine together, but is that like a serious question, how Tomlin and Rodgers would gel?
I don't think so. Those two, I think, have pretty much mutual respect for each other. They've been obviously around probably about the same amount of years right now, too. I think Tomlin does like him. I think he'll play for him. I mean, I don't know if you want to go down that route. I'll take it. Makes my job a little bit more spicier to have Aaron Rodgers around. And
you'd be doing darkness retreats and ayahuasca. It'd be fun for you, Mark.
I'm not going in the note. I'm not being like secluded in some kind of hole or something like that. I tell you that. Or what did he do? Make himself throw up or something? Whatever. Well, to each his own right there. But, you know, one thing is Tomlin, and he gets criticized a ton, at least in Pittsburgh. But the people say the same thing. The players say the same thing. I want to play for Mike Tomlin. I want to play for Mike Tomlin. I don't know why Aaron Rodgers would be any different. And honestly, if you get past that first tier of, you know, the Fields go somewhere, they don't want Russ, you're scrambling a little bit, I would take a shot at Aaron Rodgers. Why not?
So,
but he'd be in that later tier, though.
Yeah. Mark Abali here with us. Great job. Correspondent, longtime reporter for the Steelers. Now, obviously, working with the Pat McAfee show. Let me then just say one more thing about Tomlin, because you talked about the perception about him in Pittsburgh, and it is changing. Now, inside that building, I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. At the end of last season, though, I said, hey, yeah, they got to find me a franchise quarterback within 2 years, or you got to win me a playoff game within the next 2 years, or I would get rid of him. You know, I know what the perception is nationally and then also locally, but in that building, you know, in terms of him coaching for his future, are we even close to get into that conversation yet?
I don't think so. I don't think so whatsoever. First of all, what you'll be able to see from guys who've been around that long is their loss for the passion of the game. And you saw bits and pieces of that during the Hard Knocks over October, November, whatever, December it was.
Yeah.
The guy still absolutely is a football crazy man, so he's not going to lose the love for it, whatever. But he does have one glaring hole in his resume, and it's not being able to draft and develop a quarterback. I mean, he inherited Ben, and he rode Ben until he retired, and ever since then, it's just been, you know, it's questioning whether or not he is capable of – you know, drafting a quarterback, even if they do get a top 10 pick, a top 5 pick for some crazy reason, if it's trading or whatever, or does he have that ability? Right now, no. And it's a glaring, glaring hole in his resume. I mean, it's not going to keep out of the Hall of Fame or anything, but people are not happy in Pittsburgh with 10 wins anymore. Let me tell you that, because all they look at is the no playoff wins since 2016.
Mark Abali, before we let you run, let me just get you a few quick hitters from Indianapolis at the Combine. Right now, what does your gut tell you with the number one pick, what Tennessee is going to do?
What I think they should do is I think they should go quarterback, man. I think Shedeur Sanders would be great right there, but I don't think he'll go there.
I think they're going Ward. I do. I saw Schefter say today that – you know, he doesn't think that Cleveland will pass on a quarterback as well. So, you know, I think, you know, Mel Kiper set the stage. He had Shedeur falling all the way to 7. I'd be shocked if Shedeur falls to 7.
I'm just curious of seeing where a guy like Justin Hunter goes. I mean, you talk about a freak. Where does he even fit in at? I mean, talking to Tomlin, I mean, and he obviously goes to all these things. He says wide receivers are a dime a dozen, cornerbacks hard to find. So if you get that guy and put him in as your corner, I don't know if one's too high, but, man, just to take a talent like that, I would be very, very interested in just grabbing a guy like that, regardless of where I'm at, if he goes. Let's hope he goes to Cleveland.
Yeah. it would be interesting. I think it was – but maybe it was Berry today who said, hey, we would view him primarily as a wide receiver, but also they would clearly play him at corner as well. You know, how he's going to be used, you've been around the league for a long time, that's going to be a massive question mark, because you know Coach Prime's going to be saying, hey, you should play him both ways like you did in college.
Yeah, but it's almost impossible to do that in the NFL. You have to be the top of your game just to be in the NFL. To be a star, you have to be better than that. Now you're just trying to do two positions full time. I mean, maybe what his dad, maybe what his coach did, Deion, you know, play seven snaps on offense and catch a ball in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 30. But if you're giving me a shutdown corner, if you're giving me a Patrick Surtain, if you're giving me a Sauce Gardner, I'd take that over a Justin Jefferson. I think I would.
Wow. But so you go more defense than the offensive wide receiver playmaker.
Yeah, maybe that's just showing my age. If I haven't grew with the times of the NFL, I'm more defense rather than chuck the ball around. So maybe they should put him on offense.
Well, won the Eagles a Super Bowl this year with that defensive first approach, especially with how they just pounded the Chiefs in the trenches. Last thing I'll ask you, the tush push. That has been a big story today with the Packers wanting it banned. I saw a few other coaches like Raheem Morris and Sean McDermott jump in as well. Andy Reid, though, did praise the Eagles' ability to execute that tough play. Where do you stand on the tush push? Because I think they should keep it.
Yeah, I mean, ask Buffalo. How dominant is it for Buffalo, who missed it about five times in their game against the Chiefs, right? You have to be actually pretty good at it. I'm sure you could tweak it somehow. Maybe just do it, but not have allow the guys to push. Maybe just make it a – I guess it wouldn't be called a tush push right then. But it gets very boring, right? If you're playing for fourth and two, and it's really hard to stop that. I mean, until somebody finds a way, I mean, everything I hear, though, that's not going away, though. I mean, what else are you going to then make go away? I'll play that, you know, let's talk about Justin Jefferson. You know, he's uncoverable at times. You're going to make him, like, only run dig routes? I mean, so I think that's the little issue there. So I don't think it's going to go anywhere. Hey, if you want to stop it, stop it. I mean, the Eagles are just fabulous at doing it. And blame the Eagles.
Absolutely. Mark, hey, we appreciate it. Enjoy Indianapolis. Thanks so much for jumping on for a few moments.
All right. Thanks.
There you go. Mark Cabali joining us right there on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So how about that? You know, Justin Fields, that was the big takeaway that I took from that conversation. Hey, all options are on the table, but he's thinking that it's going to be Fields with the Pittsburgh Steelers. All righty, let's take a break. We'll come on back. We'll do a little overreaction, proper reaction on this Tuesday. This is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Network.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying?
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All righty, time for a little overreaction, proper reaction. Stuart Kovacs, what do we got cooking today? Looking like a soccer coach. Who is the dude from... Oh, what's the Ted Lasso?
Ted Lasso, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, you look like Ted Lasso there for a second.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
So,
you should only go mustache, I think.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You want to try just the mustache?
I don't know.
Have you ever gone just the mustache?
No. Okay. I've not. I don't think so.
All right.
No, maybe at another time. Maybe in the springtime or something.
Now you must ask me a question, right?
Ta-da-da. So, as the NFL Combine begins, Ashton Jeanty is the clear number one running back in this year's class. Battling out for the second spot are players like ASU's Cam Scadabo, UNC's Amarian Hampton, Iowa's Caleb Johnson, and the Ohio State duo of Trevaeon Henderson and Quinshon Judkins.
Trevaeon Henderson and Quinshon Judkins.
Yes, thank you.
That's a tongue. Once you mess one up, you're going to mess the other one.
I was like, I'm
up.
Not getting Judkins.
Yeah.
Overreaction or prop reaction, there will be more than one running back drafted in the first round.
Now, Cap is in here on the YouTube chat. Cap goes, I need the Stu Ted Lasso Photoshop ASAP. We already got the real thing.
We do, yeah.
You were him for Halloween. What was that, 2 years ago?
No, this year.
That was this past year. You were Ted Lasso?
It was McDaniel 2 years ago, the Dolphins coach, and it was Lasso this year.
Yeah, I remember 2 years ago, I was Jim Harbaugh. Oh, no, I was Connor Stallions. What the heck was I this year for Halloween? This is bad. I don't even remember what I was back in October, what I was for Halloween. Do you have any clues, Stu?
I'm blanking here, too.
I had to probably put an Instagram up on this. So let's see if I can quickly get this in the moment. I will go to Stu's Instagram page, and then I'll go to the tags. And let's see if I could find it. Oh, I was Scooby-Dooby-Doo for Tarek Skubal. That's what
right.
I was.
Our favorite pitcher.
Stu, you as Ted Lasso? You look awesome. You look great. All right, I'll send that to Cap. That way he could get it. But anyway, there will be more than one running back drafted in the first round. I think it was Daniel Jeremiah who had three running backs in his last mock draft. So I think there will be more than one. I'm going to be curious to see how early Ashton Jeanty goes. Mel Kiper had him going six the other day. He had him going six to your Raiders and passing up on Shedeur Sanders and had Shedeur Sanders going to the Jets. How would you feel, even though we love Ashton Jeanty, if the Raiders took Ashton Jeanty at six and passed up on Shedeur Sanders, who goes to the Jets?
You would have to take Sanders at that point. I love Jeanty, but it's just too early.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. And remember, we saw Bijan Robinson a few years ago, I believe, go six. And then Jahmyr Gibbs ended up going 12. Bijan either went six or eighth. I think it was six. And then you did have Jahmyr Gibbs go 12. But there will be more than one running back draft in the first round, yes. And I think it's going to be Amarian Hampton out of UNC, dual threat running back. Jeanty, because of the injuries, we didn't see him catch the ball all that much until later on in the season. But I do think we'll see at least two running backs go in the first round, especially because it's all trendy too. And the running back kind of came back this past year with Saquon Barkley, and also Derrick Henry, and also Jahmyr Gibbs and a few other guys. So I do think we'll see two running backs go in the first round. That will be a proper reaction.
All right, so initial reports seem to point to the future Hall of Famer Travis Kelce stepping away from the game. But Diana Russini, she put some cold water on that this week.
You know, I can tell you from just having a few conversations with people around the league over the last few days, there's definitely a sense that Travis is going to try to play more. I haven't heard anyone say, yeah, he's really struggling with what he wants to do. It's definitely leaning more towards that. That can, of course, change. This is going to be his decision only. I think they feel pretty good that Travis has got a little bit more left in him.
And then today, Chiefs GM Brett Veach discussed Kelce's future.
How we left at the end of the season is that he was fired up. He has one more year under contract, and still think he has that fire and desire to play. And as far as I'm concerned, there is no deadline. I think we left it as he'd be back, and we're excited to get him back and get him going.
So overreaction or proper reaction, Travis Kelce will return for one more season and retire after 2025.
I think that's a proper reaction. I'm not saying Travis Kelce's feeling like he's 22 right now, but I do feel as if he's coming back for one more season. And Veach basically kind of opening up Pandora's box today and kind of just, you know, dropping a few nuggets there. Because, right, wouldn't you think the player would be the first one to talk about this? But it's the GM. So maybe that's, you know, Veach maybe saying he's uncertain what's going to happen. So let me just kind of put all the pressure on him. But if the GM is saying, basically, you know, he kind of intends him to come back, I think that you'll see Travis Kelce coming back for another season. So I'll go proper reaction.
Speaking of future Hall of Fame tight ends, Cecil Lammy of Denver Sports 104.3 reports that league sources told him that Gronk is considering a return to the NFL.
This was a real report.
I know.
Unbelievable. New report or an old report. I continue.
So Gronk considering a return to the NFL and that he loves Bo Nix and Sean Payton in Denver.
Yeah, and marijuana. But I guess you get that everywhere now.
Overreaction or proper reaction, Gronk can still make an impact for a team in the NFL.
He hasn't played since 2021. Think about that. 2022, no football. 2023, no football. 2024, no football. And you're telling me Rob Gronkowski, who's lost a lot of weight too, right? And you know, he's still jacked, but he lost some muscle from when he was playing as well. He's coming on back. You know, if he wants to be, Zach Ertz is still playing and, you know, playing at a fine level. The thing that made Gronk so great and what makes him better than Travis Kelce was the blocking. Like, Gronk could run through you. Gronk could drag seven defenders into the end zone. But we all knew he could catch the ball at a magnificent rate, but he was a tremendous blocker. And I got a tough time thinking Gronk, if he comes back, is going to be able to block like he once did. So if you're telling me you want him to be a big slot receiver, yeah, I think Gronk could still play. But that's not the Gronk that we all love. That's not the Gronker. So Gronk could still make an impact for a team in the NFL. I'm not relying on it. I haven't seen him play the last 3 years. You know, maybe give you like 10 good plays or something like that a game. But a big impact, I'm going to say that is an overreaction.
So this year's wide receiver class is a little thinner than last year. It, of course, is led by Arizona's Tetairoa McMillan, who many believe will be a top 10 pick. The former Wildcat had 174 catches for 2,700 yards and 18 touchdowns over the past two seasons. So overreaction or proper reaction, McMillan is a better draft prospect than ninth overall pick Roma Dunze was last year.
I'm going to say overreaction. And he at least the mock drafts that I follow, you asked me 2 to 3 months ago, he would be in the top 10. I think everyone would have him in the top 10. A lot of the mock drafts that I'm reading recently, he's fallen. And he's put up some prodigious numbers the last two seasons at Arizona. But I think he's going to slip outside of the top 10. So I do not think he's a better prospect than Roma Dunze, even though Roma Dunze, like everybody on the Chicago Bears this past year, had a down year. I do not think he's going to go in the top 10 and is a better draft prospect than Roma Dunze. I'll go overreaction there.
While the Steelers' big question mark is what they'll do at quarterback next year, star wideout George Pickens is entering the final year of his rookie deal and is up for an extension. Now today, GM Omar Khan addressed Pickens' future.
I had a really solid exit meeting with GP, and I can tell you that he has a desire to be great. He has a desire to be great here. We have a desire for him to be great and to be great here.
So overreaction or proper reaction, despite his behavioral issues, Pickens should get over $30 million a year.
Not this offseason. You know, isn't it funny? You hear kind of what he just said. I had a great conversation. Everyone's like, oh, he's going to get a deal this offseason. And then Mark Caballi comes on with us. He's like, I don't think a deal's going to get done. And I basically don't think they want to get a deal done. And I don't blame him. Because with George Pickens, even though the Steelers need a talent like him to reach his apex, the juice isn't worth the squeeze with him. He's a good wide receiver. You know, hot take, he ain't Jerry Rice. He's not Larry Fitzgerald, right? He's not Terrell Owens. And I know T.O. had a bunch of problems as well, but geez, the way that he acts, you would think that he's getting 1,800 yards a season, and he's not. I know they haven't had a quarterback really during his time there that's been a great quarterback, but I would make him wait another year. So overreaction or proper reaction, despite his behavioral issues, Pickens should get over $30 million a year, not this offseason. I got to see more out of him. I'm going overreaction there. By the way, if you had to take a guess, Stu, for McMillan, in the latest mock draft by Mel Kiper, where do you think, what pick, if you just had to guesstimate, do you think he had McMillan going?
I would say around like 8.
22.
Really, that far?
He had him falling to 22 to the Chargers. The wide receivers to go before Mecca Ibuka, 21 to the Steelers. You know, I'll just give you the tight ends, even though they're not wide receivers, but it's a pass catcher. Colston Loveland, 20 to the Denver Broncos. A lot of defensive players. Oh, we had Amarian Hampton. That's a running back going to Dallas at 12. You know, to get back to what we said earlier. And I guess the only other name that we're really looking for is where did he have Travis Hunter going? And he had Travis Hunter going 3 to the Giants. So technically, 2 wide receivers, even though Hunter is a wide receiver and a corner, going before McMillan. And he had McMillan falling all the way to 22nd. And think about how many years have we talked about receivers. You know, just as of late, like, you had 3, 4, 5 guys going in the first 10 picks or the first 20 picks. You know, that 1 year, it was the Quentin Johnson draft. He had back-to-back-to-back. He also had the Garrett Wilson draft, you know, where you had a bunch of guys go as well. We've seen a lot of receivers go in the first round. I don't think this is going to be a happening year for wide receivers, really, in the first round like we're used to. But you were talking about George Pickens. Yeah, I said overreaction. You shouldn't get $30 million a year. All right, next one.
So two-way star Travis Hunter is entering the combine as a cornerback, although Titans coach Brian Callahan sees Hunter playing both ways.
Yeah, it's very realistic. I think he's a unique player, that there's not a whole lot of other players you could compare what he's done. There's not many guys that have played that many snaps on both sides of the ball. And you watch his tape and you see his ability to play both at a very high level. So, I think anybody that you talk to about him is going to say the same thing, that he's got the ability to play both.
Now, despite Hunter's success, many have Michigan corner Will Johnson as the top-rated corner and a likely top 10 pick as well. Overreaction or proper reaction, Johnson is the better cornerback than Hunter.
Yeah, Johnson's going to get dinged a little bit just because he barely played this year. But I think in terms of the actual just position, like, there's more value with Travis Hunter because he could play both ways and the athletic freak. But you saw what Will Johnson did in the big stage of the national championship game, even had a pick six to start this season earlier this year too. I think Johnson is just the better corner, but the better all-around football player is obviously Travis Hunter. So Johnson is the better cornerback prospect than Hunter. I will go that's a proper reaction, even though Hunter is going to go earlier than Will Johnson.
The 49ers are coming off of a terrible season filled with injuries, and they enter the offseason with big questions about whether to pay quarterback Brock Purdy, as well as possibly trading Deebo Samuel. As the combine begins, however, head coach Kyle Shanahan has chosen not to attend the event. Overreaction or proper reaction, it is a mistake for Shanahan not to attend the combine.
They never go. My question is why? Like, why don't you go? I don't understand that. What, you just don't want to talk to the media? Is that what it is? So I don't think it's like an incredulous mistake, but I do think as a coach or a GM, you should be at the combine. And I think there's some events you just don't miss, and this is one of them. So it's a mistake for Shanahan to not attend the combine. Once again, I'm going proper reaction there. And final one, what do we got?
All right, so tight ends, they've made a major impact in the last few drafts, most notably Brock Bowers after the Raiders selected him 13th overall last year. Now this year, two players stand out, with Penn State's Ty Warren and Michigan's Colson Loveland, with CBS Sports ranking Loveland slightly ahead of Warren. Overreaction or proper reaction, Loveland will be a better pro tight end than Warren.
So here's where I struggle with tight ends. I think it's, for me, the toughest position to evaluate. I think Warren is better. I think Warren is also more athletic. And, right, they've used him as a running back. Colson Loveland, I just wonder how much untapped potential there is. Because where he was from his freshman season to where he finished, I know he missed some games last year with the injury, but I didn't look at him as great. That's the key word, as great as what everyone else kind of viewed him as. I just thought he was good. Warren was one of the better players in college football this year, and I think Warren's a top five draft prospect in this draft, either ranked fifth or fourth. Loveland, to me, I don't know how great he's going to be. And I've questioned that, even, you know, being a guy that's wearing a Michigan shirt today and roots for Michigan. I thought he was going to be this stud, right, when he got there in 2022. And I even had him on the show. And he was good for them, right? Good. But I didn't really see the stud greatness that people kept on telling me I was going to see. So Loveland will be a better pro tight end than Tyler Warren. I will go overreaction there. All righty, we'll come on back. We'll do a little mock draft 1.0 top 10 with between Stu and I. We will do that when we return. Update time first. Here's Zach. Man, this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. With the NFL world outside of the Niners and maybe a few other teams, I don't know who else, in Indianapolis for the combine. Let's cue up a little football music. We will do the first installment of the top 10 mock draft. This is version 1.0, and my opponent today is going to be the great Stuart Kovac. Stu, you will take the odd teams, and I will take the even teams. So first up, we have the Tennessee Titans. Who do you have them taking with the number one pick?
So I don't see a non-quarterback going here. I know that's been rumored, but I do think it will be a quarterback. Now, whether it's the Titans or someone else, I think that's the question. But since
you could do trades if you want.
Could do trades. I think the Titans will, I'll say that they take Cam Ward and the quarterback goes off the board first.
Okay, I'm in agreement there. I did think today that Borgonzi was basically saying, hey, I'll trade back a few spots and you could come up and you could go get your guy if you want. But I never know what to read into this stuff. So yesterday I said Cam Ward should be the number one overall pick, and I think he would be the number one overall pick. I'm still in that line of thinking, but then I saw Adam Schefter today on his own podcast adamantly say, here's what I know, that the Cleveland Browns will be taking a quarterback. So is that the Cleveland Browns are taking a quarterback because Tennessee isn't, and then they're going to take Cam Ward? Or even if Tennessee takes Cam Ward, then Shedeur Sanders will then go two to the Cleveland Browns. And that would kind of fall in line with all these BS rumors that end up happening because, right, Mel Kiper today in his latest mock draft right before the combine, he had Shedeur Sanders going all the way to seventh. So this is what Schefter tweeted out. Of the many scenarios of the upcoming NFL draft, the one that makes the most sense is the Browns using their top pick on a quarterback. That's what he said. Even with that being said, and I don't like to doubt Adam Schefter because usually end up being wrong, I'm going to say the Browns end up taking Abdul Carter. They go pass rusher because the Browns are saying they're not trading Myles Garrett now. That's nice to say now. I think that will change in a month or two. So not that you're automatically replacing Myles Garrett. Abdul Carter still has a lot to prove, but I think Abdul Carter is the best player in this draft. So I'll have the Brownies taking him in at number two. All righty, that leaves the Giants at three. What do you got cooking here, Stu?
All right. I know people said that he could drop to six or seven, but I don't think Shedeur Sanders passes the Giants. I just think it just makes too much sense for them to take the quarterback. I know maybe they might not think he's as good as a Cam Ward. Maybe they like Cam better. But if they're staying at three, I think Shedeur does go with three to the Giants.
Just wondering, if I put Shedeur at two, would you have the Giants take Abdul Carter? Would you have the Giants take Travis Hunter? What would you end up having the Giants do if I ended up taking Shedeur off the board there at two?
I would have had them taking Hunter.
Okay. I think that's right. That leaves the Patriots. I don't know. Something tells me the Pats aren't going to take Travis Hunter. If he's there, I could see them going Will Campbell out of LSU. I could see them taking Mason Graham and having Barrymore and Graham solidify the interior of their defensive line. But I'm still of the idea that you take the best player available. And I think Travis Hunter, with how many holes the Patriots has, is the best player available at this point. I think he's the second best player in this draft. So I'll have the Patriots going with Travis Hunter. Next up, we go to Duval. What do you got, Stu?
So, yeah, I think they would take Hunter too. I think Hunter would be at five, the absolute latest with the Jaguars. So the fact that the Patriots scoop him up there, I think that's a bit of a, you know, they're probably a little disappointed. But I think they will go with Will Campbell, the offensive lineman. I think there's a couple other guys that I think we will talk about very soon in the next couple of picks that they would consider, but I think Will Campbell is the guy that they would go with.
So you're saying the Jaguars, that is, right?
Yeah, for the Jaguars,
okay.
Yes.
So then that leaves the Raiders on the board at six, and I wonder with Stu, does he take Will Campbell there to kind of put the Raiders in a more advantageous situation? Because the best player on the board right now is Mason Graham. Now, you have Max Crosby coming off the edge. You just gave a lot of money to Christian Wilkins as well. And, you know, they do need a corner, so this could be a Will Johnson spot. They're not going to take a tight end because they have two on the roster.
No.
You got Brock Bowers, and then you also got the Mayer kid from Notre Dame. I don't think the Raiders would hate if they end up taking Will Campbell here, but you just took him off the board. So you know what? I don't love the wide receivers here. I'm going to go with Mason Graham here.
Wow.
And you just really beef up that defensive line, and you got three studs going after the quarterback.
I'd be absolutely thrilled with that as a Raiders fan.
So who do you got the Jets here at seven?
So the Jets, I think they go Tyler Warren. I mean, I think they would love to get up to get a quarterback, but I don't think that's possible. That's going to be pretty tough for them to do. So I think Tyler Warren here makes a lot of sense for the Jets. Get a weapon for whoever that next quarterback is, TBD.
So last year, I felt like almost every mock draft had Joe Alt going to the Los Angeles Chargers. I think this year, almost every mock draft has Jalen Walker out of Georgia going to the Carolina Panthers. So I usually don't like to just follow the crowd. But in this case, I feel like if you don't follow the crowd, you're going to have a lot of egg on your face. And I don't like egg on my face. I like egg on my plate. So I will end up going with Jalen Walker out of Georgia. And that leaves you, Stu, with one more selection. You got the Saints sitting there at number nine. Just to reset, Stu takes the Tennessee Titans with Cam Ward. I go Browns, Abdul Carter. Stu with the Giants, Shedeur Sanders. I have the Pats taking Travis Hunter in our mock top 10 draft 1.0. Jaguars, Stu goes with Will Campbell. I have the Raiders go with Mason Graham. Stu has the Jets go with Tyler Warren. And I just have the Panthers go with Jalen Walker. So what do you got here with the Saints?
There's a couple guys in between. I don't know if cornerbacks, I think they'll go defense. I don't think cornerbacks necessarily a need. So I think James Pierce out of Tennessee kind of makes sense. They could definitely use that kind of beef up front, kind of edge rusher that James Pierce is. So I think he would be that guy you kind of pair with Cam Jordan, as Cam Jordan obviously has maybe a couple years left with the team.
So now I'm sitting here, and I have the Chicago Bears in at number 10. And when I sit here with the Bears at 10, like, do you maybe go a little offense, and do you take Ashton Jeanty? You know, could you go Will Johnson here, and you have Jalen Johnson and Will Johnson? That would be fun. But I think that you need an offensive lineman here. And I'm thinking about the offensive lineman from Texas, but I'm just scrolling through Mel Kiper's mock draft right now, and I can't. Wow, he had Kelvin Banks Jr. falling all the way to 25. 25! So that would kind of be on brand there. I'll take him for the Bears. Because, right, Mel Kiper has him falling to 25. I think in most areas, he's ranked as the second offensive lineman in this draft, the second offensive tackle. So that's all I'll end up going. Kelvin Banks Jr. out of Texas. I do wonder now, because, and we could fade out the music right there. I do wonder with, right, Mel Kiper surprising us today, putting Ashton Jeanty sixth to the Raiders. And that was like an, oh my goodness gracious. Is this just a bizarre kind of draft for only Mel Kiper than having Kelvin Banks Jr. fallen? So let me go to another voice, Daniel Jeremiah. He had Abdul Carter going 1 to Tennessee, Cam Ward going 2 to the Browns. All right, so that goes in line with the Schefter theory. Travis Hunter, 3 to the Giants. Will Campbell, 4 to the Pats. Mason Graham, 5 to the Jaguars. Shedeur Sanders, 6 to the Raiders. Tyler Warren, 7 to the Jets. Jalen Walker, 8 to the Panthers. Mike Green out of Marshall, the edge rusher's name is flying up the boards, 9 to the Saints. And then, oh, he had Kelvin Banks going 10 to the Bears. All right, so I had a good thought there. When I was scrolling, I couldn't find his name. I'm like, what the heck did I miss here? So our mock draft top 10 1.0, Titans, Cam Ward, Browns, Abdul Carter, Giants, do the Shedeur Sanders, huh? Pats, Travis Hunter, Jaguars, Will Campbell, Raiders, Mason Graham, Jets, Tyler Warren, Panthers, Jalen Walker, Saints, James Pierce, and then the Bears and Kelvin Banks. All righty, we'll take a break. When we come on back, we're going to pay homage to a show that used to be here. We got about like 7,000 cuts. I have a news brief sheet with 23 cuts. Do I think we're going to get to all 23? No, I know we're not going to get to all 23. But we'll give you a lot of sights and sounds, a ton of audio from a lot that's happened in Indianapolis. The media is not only eating shrimp cocktail, they're also getting us some good audio. We'll get to that next.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.